our biggest disappointment was that many of the ulama did not take active steps to combat apartheid. Those who did, like my father's teacher, Sheikh Ismail Khanif, he had studied in at Al-Azhar in the 1930s. His first book he wrote was in Arabic in Cairo. And when he came back to South Africa, he had a group of students. My father was one of them. The other one was Ash-Shaheed Imam Abdullah Harun, who was killed in detention in 1969. And the day the Nationalist Party won the election in 1948, he actually made qunut after Fajr that day. So this indicates that he had a clear understanding of what was going to happen with the Nationalist government coming into power. And he also said the worst is still to come. Now obviously he must have had contact in Al-Azhar with people like Imam Hassan al-Banna and others, and that is the reason. So he stands out like a beacon in the Muslim society of the time. Fortunately enough, my father was one of his students, and of course I learned this from my father. Unfortunately, he died in a car accident in Woodstock in Cape Town in 1958. I was then 13 years old, and up to the very time he was killed, I had attended his lectures as well as his khutbahs at the masjid in Beit Akhlaq Street. He was in fact a great loss. But as for the rest, many of them openly collaborated with apartheid in exchange for favors, etc. But that was to be expected, because the British have used this tactic all over the world, in Sudan, in Egypt, in Malaysia, etc. And we were no exception. There were those people in the community who remained indifferent, indifferent out of fear. They were cowed by the regime. And there were others, again, who took up the challenge and supported people very quietly. Would donate funds, would support the prisoners by sending their parents food parcels or raising money for their bail, for their defense, etc. And that has always been a feature of the Muslim community. Most of us never had money to defend ourselves in court because legal fees are exorbitant. So in that sense, yes, the community understood. But the leadership in the community left much to be desired. Because if you are going to form part of the leadership in any community, but especially in the Muslim community, there are three characteristics which are absolutely necessary. One is you must be sincere. You must be the most sincere of us if you are to lead us. Secondly, you must be knowledgeable about what you stand for, your principles, your values, your ideals, and especially your methods of struggle. But the third factor is that you must be utterly and totally fearless. So when we recite La tahzan inna Allaha ma'ana, which is revealed in Ayatul Quran, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr said that he fears on the trip of Hijrah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this verse is revealed. Fear not, for Allah is with us. And also the fact that Muslims sloganize some of these things, but they don't understand what has to be done with it. And we fear no one except Allah, is the slogan which most Muslims know. But that must be practiced in real life. So when the enemy knows that you don't fear death, the enemy fears you. Because if you are not afraid to die, you're not afraid to kill. And the enemy takes the lesson very seriously. The other aspect of the community is that individuals were opposed to the regime, but there had to be a point where they collectively got their opposition together. And because there was no Muslim organization to do that, until in the late 70s, it meant that Muslims supported any opposition to apartheid. So many Muslims went into the Communist Party, the ANC, the PAC, the Coloured People's Congress, the Natal Indian Congress, etc. It's only late 70s that people started realizing that Islam ideologically could deal with these issues much more efficiently.